Let's get into this. Luke chapter number 22. It's going to be on the screens, but always bring the word of your word to the gathering of saints. Amen. Because as much as it's on the screen, your own, having something in your hand, whether it's a real Bible, whether it's a phone, whatever it is, a tablet, it don't matter. As long as you got it in your hand, something just happens when the word of God is in your hands. Amen. So, Luke chapter number 22. Somebody shout, I'm ready for the word. The Bible says, and the Lord said, the Lord is Jesus, was talking to Simon. He said, Simon, Simon. Oh, I always put my name in there. Timothy, Timothy. Come on, put your name in there. And the Lord said, yeah. Behold, listen, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now watch this. What you got to understand all throughout the word of God is Satan and God is always having conversations about us that we don't know about. Remember in the book of Job? When the Bible says the sons of God came to present themselves before God and Satan was there also. And then Satan and God began to have a conversation about Job that Job knew nothing about. Then all of a sudden all hell hit Job and Job didn't know who it was, why it was, where it came from. So sometimes when hell hits our life, it's because the devil and the Lord done had a conversation about us. And just as in Job, when God says you can do whatever you want to him, you just can't take his life. I mean, everything from Job started, you know, his kids died, his cattle died, everything he had left. He got sick, got boils everywhere, and yeah, he almost cursed God and died because that's what his wife told him to do. But he said in all of that he went through, he never charged God foolishly. And it said, Satan has desired to have you. So the same way God gave the devil permission to get in Job's life and do some stuff, Jesus tells Simon, he says, listen, Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. Now, I'm not going to get to the next verse right now. We're going to do that later on. But the next verse says this. He says, but I'm praying for you. Because we always hear that, God going to tell the devil no. He said, go ahead. Now, remember, if the devil is allowed access in your life, it's a clear indication that you got the power and you got the will and the word to handle it. Because just like it's wrong for a teacher, a professor, a doctor that's teaching you a class to give you a test without giving you the information, it would be wrong for God to give a test to me without me having what I need to get out. I know it seemed like you don't know what to do, but you do. You do. I know it seemed like you don't know how you're going to get out of this, but you know. It's something you already know. It's the word you already know. Remember when the devil came to Jesus, the 40 days and 40 nights? Everything that the devil threw at him, what did Jesus say? It is, which means he already knew the answer how to get out of everything. And you know the answer to everything. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, we got to understand something here, y'all. Well, number one, let me tell you this. The word sift, S-I-F-T, it means to examine something thoroughly as to isolate that which is the most important or useful. Satan wants to have you so he can examine your life thoroughly so he can isolate everything that is important or useful to you. Let that sink in a minute. And it also means to be shaken so badly that it causes an inward agitation that is purposed to get your faith and your life to be overthrown. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know why, but those seem to be the kind of attacks I have all the time. I don't got little, you know. Oh, she didn't talk to me. He didn't. I don't have them kind. I got serious stuff. And watch this. So, Satan, listen, y'all. Satan wants your life. Satan wants access to you because he wants to examine everything in your life thoroughly. Which means there are times that he wants to isolate you so that you can be examined by him. When he gets you to stop praying, to stop seeking God, to stop getting in your word, you are isolating yourself from the presence of God. Therefore, you have been isolated for him to examine you. Watch this. And he wants to examine you thoroughly to see what is most important to you or what is most useful to you, and then he'll start to attack those things. Because if you're away from God and then away from the things and the people that are most useful to you, he got you. That's why godly relationships are important. I didn't say you just have a bunch of friends. I said godly relationships. Then it says he wants to shake you. Now, once he finds out those things about you, he wants to shake you so badly, shake your life so badly. Have you, I don't know if there's any male cooks in the house because my brother can't cook, but if there's any male, come on, say amen. Yeah. So when you start, if you're a baker, you put flour in what's called a sifter, and you sift it because sometimes there's too many clumps, and it needs to be thinned out. So it's in its most vulnerable state. So once it has been sifted, now it's ready. You didn't hear what I just said. I said once it's been sifted, now it's ready. So sometimes we have to be sifted. That's the reason why the Lord allows. He doesn't bring the attack in your life. He just allows some stuff to happen to you. And the question becomes, well, Lord, why in the world would you allow something like this to happen to me? And his answer is, because I know you could get out of it. And I need you to go ahead and grow up in this area, in this area, and in this area. And without this sifting, you would have never grown. We got to get some stuff thinned out in our life. Everybody is looking for somebody to blame for their sifting. Oh, well, such and such did this to me, and that's why I'm in this position. Well, such and such did that to me. Such and such said that about me. Such and such did this to me, and this is the reason why I'm in this place in my life. The only person we should all be blaming is the devil. Did you hear what I just said? I said the only person we should be blaming is the devil. Listen, didn't nobody do nothing to you? No, you don't know. Yes, they did. I know who did it. I can tell you their name. I can tell you how they did it, where they did it. I can tell you who they did it with because I knew some people got together and conspired against me. Didn't nobody do nothing to you? That was the devil. See, if we don't learn how to identify who's doing the stuff to us, things will never change in our life. You know, when you was young, has everybody ever been whooped for something you didn't do that one of your brothers or sisters did, cousins did? Sometimes you put that same thing on people that did something to you when that thing should be going towards the devil. And you end up ruining good relationships because you don't know who to blame. See, as a believer, you're different than folks that ain't saved. The Bible says when Jesus asked Peter, Who the men say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, okay, upon that rock, upon that revelation you just gave me, Peter, that's where I'll build my church. Then he says this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, there are no gates that's just running around town looking for you. So what's a gate? A gate is an entryway, an entry point. Who are gates then? Because gates got to be somebody. All throughout the Word of God, people are known as doors, as gates, as windows. In other words, God needs an entrance to get into the earth. The devil needs entrance to get into the earth. Now, the earth belongs to him. He can do whatever he wants to, but the way he set it up is without you giving him a, because Jesus says like this, I stand at the door, which means he's not just coming in. He needs your permission. He needs you to become a gate. He needs you to become a window for him to get access to what he needs to do. So the Bible says when the gates of hell shall not prevail, because the Bible says that you and I represent the kingdom of God. So if we represent the kingdom of God, that means that somebody else got to represent the gates of hell. So the gates of hell are trying to prevail against what you represent in the earth, which is the kingdom of God. So nobody's doing anything to you. The kingdom of Satan is trying to get in to destroy the kingdom of God. Now, if you start to realize and recognize what's really going on, ain't nobody worried about you. You know how something is going on with somebody and, you know, somebody really think everything is about them? You're like, they ain't even worried about you. It's the same thing. Devil ain't worried about you. He's worried about what you carry. He's not worried about you. He's worried about the word of God that's in your mouth. He's worried about the kingdom that you represent, that as you obey God, you are establishing something on the earth that the devil can't get rid of. So now, we've then got to make sure we are blaming the right individual. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 4. Let's go to the next one. It says, beloved, think it not strange. Don't trip concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. In other words, whenever you start going through something, why do you trip every single time? As if something strange, something weird is happening to you. You are a believer. You are a child of God. You represent and carry the name of Jesus. Do you really think the devil is going to allow you to just tiptoe through the tulips your whole life and get the blessing and get increase and get a raise and get a business and get a husband and get a wife and get children and just flow in the blessing? Absolutely not. There's going to be one fiery trial after the next, but you got to know that the fiery trial is not about you. It's about your faith in the God that you serve for you to continue to do what God's called you to do. And the Bible says we've got to stop thinking it's strange whenever not a regular trial. I'm talking about the stuff that make you stop wanting to serve God. That's what I'm talking about. That's a fiery trial. I'm not talking about they didn't call my name at church. I ain't talking to you. You still immature. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about stuff that want to make you take your own life. That's a fiery trial. And the Bible says, don't think it's strange when that happened. That's regular. Some of you that used to be on the run in the street and had you was after people was after you, live that life now in the kingdom of God, because just know the devil is always after you and I'm always after him. Come on, I know we got some thugs in here. Where y'all at? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's my man. That's my man. I know we got some thugs in here. And watch this. if you was really about yours, even if you heard people was coming after you, pull up. You see, because watch this. You coming after me makes me know, never mind. I did what I did. If you don't like it, do something about it. So again, it didn't make me like, oh my God, they after me. Oh my God, where am I going to go? Where am I going to hide? So then why, when the devil come after you, you retreat? Now, this is only for the thugs. Go and put somebody and say, I ain't no punk. Now, go ahead, tell them, I ain't no punk. I'm trying to give you something here because these fiery trials are going to keep coming in your life. The more you learn about God, the hotter it gets for you. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though something strange happened to you. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The kingdom of God. Who's the kingdom of God? Us. So it says it suffers violence, which means there's always a violent attack against those who represent the kingdom. And the Bible says, and the violent attacks coming up on you is coming to take everything you got, everything you are, everything you think you are by force. Which means if there's a violent attack against me, I've got to learn how to fight in this spiritual fight. Because I ain't going to keep getting whooped. I ain't. After a while, you ought to get tired of getting a friendly fade. Which simply means you get beat up and everybody cool again. That's all that means. No. We got to recognize there's a way for us to fight and win. Now, let me give you this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober. Everybody know what sober is, right? It means you're aware, you're alert, you ain't in another mind, another state. Be sober and be vigilant. That means be aware. Watch your back. Watch your side. Watch your front. Watch who's around you. Because sometimes who's around us is the very gate we're trying to look for in other folks. Say amen. Amen. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your cousin, your adversary, your sister, your brother, your adversary, your friend. Who's your adversary? I said, who is your adversary? What does he do? As a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he. Y'all remember the game Red Rover? Red Rover, Red Rover, send whoever right over. And the goal, if it was my time to run, I gotta pick the weakest person I can see. Seeking whom he may devour. So the only way the devil gonna get in your life is if you're the weakest link of everybody you know. Question is, are you the weakest link? We all gonna say no, but are you the weakest link? Not with the power. Because watch this. The goal is to break the chain, because if you break the chain, you can pick somebody and take them to the other side. But you only gonna get the strong ones. You leave the weak one over there. And every time somebody come, they're going after that same weak spot. And if you're the only one always getting attacked around everybody in your life, you are the weakest link. Now listen, because we're going somewhere. Look at verse number 9. We got so it said that the devil is that individual, but now it says whom resists. So who are we supposed to resist? The devil. How do we resist the devil? Steadfast in the faith, knowing something. Knowing what? That the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Which means that whatever you're going through, there's somebody you know right now already kicking the devil's butt while you getting yours kicked. Well, why do I keep getting my butt kicked? Because you don't listen. You think you know everything, and yet you still getting your butt kicked. Humble yourself, listen to somebody, and get some victory. I said, humble yourself, listen to somebody, and get the victory. There's only so long we can go before we say, okay, I don't like losing. Like anytime we get on domino table, I don't stop until I win. Or until the other person just get up and walk off because they feel like I'm going to win the next time or something. But if they sit on that table, I'm going to win. Yeah, every time. Yeah. So if you're accustomed to losing, did you hear what I just said? If you're accustomed to losing, then losing ain't nothing for you. But if you're a winner, then I don't stop until I win. So then he says, keep resisting in the faith, steadfastly knowing that whatever you're whatever affliction you're dealing with is already being accomplished, already being overcome by your brethren that are in the world. Now, I think I've given us a pretty good foundation for where we're going to go today, because we got some stuff we got to talk about. Really quickly, let's go to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. I didn't get that one. Okay, John chapter 10, verse number 10. It says this. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It says the thief comes to do that. So the only reason why the thief would come into your life is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Which means that if there is any killing, stealing, or destroying in my life, I can't blame nobody. I've got to blame the thief. Okay, now watch this. I believe it's in the book of Proverbs. I don't know if I have that one, fellas. Do I have that one? Okay. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 30 and 31. Men do not despise a what? A thief. If he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. In other words, if you stole from the grocery store because you was hungry, you know, I get it, but you might still have to go to jail. You know, you still may have to go to jail, okay? But I don't despise you, though, because I know why you're stealing. But if you get caught, you got to restore how much? Sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Which means that when I can recognize who the thief is, when I can really identify the thief, whoever that thief really is, got to restore something to me. Did you hear what I just said? I said, that's the reason why you can't get nothing back yet, because you keep blaming somebody for your stuff. It's when you can identify there's been some stealing, some killing, and destroying in my life. I knew it was the devil did this. Satan did this. That's why I can still love you and forgive you. I ain't going to give you the same chance you did last time, but I love you and I forgive you. And because I love you and forgive you, I release you of the responsibility to make me feel better about it. And now I put all the responsibility on the devil. Because who did this to you? I asked you, who did this to you? Now, if he's the one that did it, then he's the one that got to pay you back. God ain't got to pay you back nothing because God didn't take nothing from you. God ain't got to make you whole because God is not the one that destroyed something in your life. Now, if the devil got to pay me back, that means that what happened to me was spiritual. And what's going to be restored to me got to be spiritual in the beginning. But it's going to manifest because while he was stealing from me, there was, see, whatever God or whatever the devil does in your life, it has to have its beginning in the spirit. There are spiritual implications happening in your life right now that the devil is doing before anything ever manifests. That's why you got to be led by the Holy Ghost to be able to identify the devil sometimes before he ever starts anything in your life. Okay, somebody trying to be cool with me, but I see the devil in them. So I ain't going to let you get close because I already know what your plan is because I see you. I don't care how nice you are to me. I don't care what you try to give me. I see you. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at who's trying to work through you. I'm saying who's trying to get access through you to get to me. Which means that you got to understand not what people do, but the motive behind what they do. The motive behind what they do will tell you who they really are and who really sent them. Because you're just happy that you got a new friend. Now, no, you better see if that's the devil. Yeah. Because just like in the world, I wasn't looking for no new friends and ain't looking for none now. All I want is God connections. If you ain't about God's business, if you ain't about doing what God calls you, I don't need you, don't want you in my life. And I'm especially weary of the super duper spiritual ones. Because you're doing too much, you're trying to prove something. Because if you belong to God, you just belong to him. I'm looking for folks who still got a little something on their shoulder. Still got some issues. Still got some problems, but you working towards being what God wants you to be. If you act like you always got it all together, don't need you around. If you act like you ain't got no problems, you don't never miss nothing, you always on and you always hear from God, because I don't always hear from him. Don't even always obey him. See, y'all got quiet right there. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and tell somebody, say, you don't always obey him either. Go ahead, tell them. You don't always obey him either. But one thing's for sure, I love him. One thing's for sure, I am forgetting everything that's behind me, and I'm reaching forward to everything that's before me because I know God has something good planned for my life. And I only want people around me that's the same way. When you tripping, I can slap you up a little bit and say, get yourself together. When I'm slipping, you slap me up a little bit and say, get yourself together. You better than this. What are you doing? Where you at? I'm coming to get you. Sit your down. Y'all know what I want to say. I'm saying we got to have people in our life like that can pull us out of stuff. Because some of us, if we really go back, ain't no coming back for us. We gone. And sometimes it takes everything in us not to go back. And while everybody think you just super strong and super spiritual and everything, you say, no, I'm really thinking about this. Because the question becomes, well, if you're an apostle, how in the world could you allow this? And how in the world could you do? Because I'm just like you. I just happen to be called by God. And I just happen to say yes, but that don't mean that I still, me, Tim, that person don't exist. Yes, I'm anointed, but I'm still this man. What we got next, fellas? Okay, go back to the other scripture. Go back one more. There we go. Yeah, let's stick right there for a minute, because I have something I want to give everybody. It's just going to be just a few minutes, and then we're going to be done. Sometimes because of things that are happening to us, we get frustrated in life. And when I say frustrated, I mean where you just don't want to do anything. Have anybody ever said, I just want to get a ticket to wherever and just be there and don't know nobody and don't nobody know me? I don't know if I want to get on a train, a bus, a plane, a bike. I don't care. Just get me up out of here. I ain't telling nobody I'm leaving. Don't nobody know. So that way can't nobody track me down. I'm leaving my phone. I'm leaving everything. It can't nobody get in contact with me. That's called frustration. And the devil's job in frustrating you is to get you off the clear path of what he knows God has for you. Now watch this. Because the devil does not know the future, but yet he's a spirit and he sees what God has on his way to you. Did you listen to what I just said? He's a spirit, and what God is a spirit. And when God releases something to you, it's not natural, it's spirit. And I don't know if y'all know this, but there are three heavens. The third heaven is where God and his angels are. The second heaven is where Satan and his angels are. And then we live in this third heaven, which is called earth. So every time we pray to God, it goes through the second heaven to get to God. Every time God releases something, it comes back through the second heaven down to us. Well, how can you say that? You know, ain't Satan in hell? No. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the Bible says his name is, one of his names is Beelzebub. It does mean the Lord of the flies. It means the Lord of flying things, or the Lord of things that fly. Satan nor his angels are in hell. Demons are not in hell. The Bible says when the spirit goes out of a man, he goes into dry places. He doesn't go to hell. He seeks rest. Until he can possess another body. So there's no demons in hell. The devil is not in hell. The fallen angels are not in hell. But if you're not born again, the Bible says when you die, if you're not born again, you will lift up your eyes in hell. But if you are born again, the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be. So then, watch this. Because when God does something in your life, the enemy sees it, and he sees it coming. So what is his job? Create chaos in your life. Because he wants you to stop what God has already sent, because he knows he can't stop it. So he gets you tripping. He gets you talking out the side of your neck. He gets you wanting to give up. He gets you wanting to throw in the towel. He gets you to want to stop praying and stop seeking God, stop being around the people you know you need to be around, and you go be around them clowns that you know are going to have you doing crazy stuff. And you end up forfeiting your own blessing that you asked for, that was on its way to you, because of the great fiery attack. That's why Paul said, because I know this, I'm going to be happy every time an attack comes at me. Because I know something got to be on the way. If I'm being attacked like this, something big, something good is on the way. So I'm going to put my pressure, I'm going to put my foot on the devil's neck even more now. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to fast more. I'm going to get in my word more. I'm not going to miss church. Because watch this, y'all. Life had me frustrated. 1 year ago tomorrow, life had me frustrated. Now, why in the world did God orchestrate everything the way he did? Remember, it was about a month or so ago when I said 1 year ago that day, while I was standing preaching, I had an aneurysm. About to die in the pulpit. And now, this Sunday, 1 year ago tomorrow, is when all hell hit my life with everything it had. And I lost everything. When I say everything, I'm talking about clothes, I'm talking about shoes, I'm talking about friends, I'm talking about everything. All I had to my name was the clothes I had on. But the Bible says, don't think it's strange. What you mean, don't think it's strange? I lost everything that I own from July till like maybe October, something like that. I still have my people. Absolutely. I still got my people. And listen, y'all, sometimes when you can't stand, you need Aaron's and hers that can keep you lifted up. And then folks that be in that section right there, them my people. Listen, they come up off the hip for me. I come up off mine for them. What do you mean, come up off the hip? Just don't try to find out. And I promise you, that's what it is. Now watch this. But they held me. And then one day, my father called me. And out of nowhere just said, I'm coming to pick you up. Now, when he said that, I felt like I was almost ready to just let it all go. I ain't talking about, oh, I don't want to preach. I'm talking about my life. I was done with preaching long before that, you understand? So I really wasn't thinking about that no more. I'm trying to tell you how to get out of fiery stuff that the devil throws at you. So he said, I'm coming to get. Now there was another situation, and you know, there were so many people that God used during that time for my life that was so intricate, and so you know, that's why it's important for you to have the right relationships. And I don't want to start saying specific times, specific moments, because I don't want to leave anybody out. But there was one specific instance that I had walked 3.5 hours in 117 degree heat. I had walked 3.5 hours in 117 degree heat, and I had just had the stroke a little while before that. So My arms from my elbow down to my hand, I've never seen my hand nor my forearm as big as they were. And I kept putting my hands up like this because I didn't know what was going on with me. I thought I was going to die. I didn't have no water, didn't have nothing. And I'm like, what in the world is going on with my hands? What's going on with my arms? I mean, my fingers were so swollen, I couldn't close my hand. I couldn't open it. They were so swollen. And I was like, okay, I'm going to die in one of these fields and ain't nobody even going to know that I'm out here. But as soon as one of, and I'm only mentioning this because I've never forgot it, but one of the people that's a part of my ministry, they were in the hospital themselves. And I believe it was hay fever. Valley fever. With valley fever. And as soon as they heard what was going on with me, they got up out the hospital and drove themselves to come get me. Because I didn't have a phone. I couldn't call nobody. I was just walking 3.5 hours. So as soon as he found out where I was, He said, just stay there. I'm on my way. Now, he wasn't allowed to leave the hospital. I'm talking about the people that God will put around you. Now, watch this. And then after that, again, my father called me out of the clear blue, didn't know what was going on with me. I didn't tell him everything that was going on. See, and that's another thing. Sometimes you just got to have people that just is filled with the Holy Ghost that know without you having to tell them everything. Any people around you that don't need to know everything that happened before they help. Well, what happened and when did it happen and how did that happen? Oh, I'm sitting here about to die. Just come get me. You understand? Now, that was all up until so my dad came to get me in December, and I just left everything because I had accumulated a few things up until then. But at that point, I just left everything again because wasn't nothing happening for me. Every door was being closed in my face. Everybody that I thought was in my life outside of my people proved to me that they really wasn't. People that I had been there for all of a sudden turned they back because they wanted to be a part of the whole crowd that all turned their back to and didn't want to seem like they was the only one still with me. I'm not saying this for you to feel sorry for me. I'm telling you the fiery trial. And so I was just about done. Again, I didn't call my daddy. He called me. And he said, I'm coming to get you. And he came and got me. And got me up out of here. And so I'm almost done, y'all. I promise you I am. And so on December 31st, I told my people, I said, hey, we're going to get together because the Lord said there's something we got to do. And on December 31st, we all went to Mother Mary's house. And the Lord said, tell them all to write down what they're believing God to do this next year. And then he told me to have them all bring something that will represent what they're believing God for. Whether it's a towel, whether it's a trinket, whether it's whatever. Some people brought necklaces, some people brought towels, some people brought this, some people brought that. So it didn't matter what you brought. I just said, just bring something. And so we got there. I began to minister to them what God told me to minister concerning what we're believing God for the next year. I went around. I laid hands on everybody, and then I anointed everything that they had. And then we left that place knowing what God was going to do in 2025. Now, again, at this time, I still have nothing. But I know the voice of God. And so we're there. I'm laying hands on everybody because it's like, well, how in the world you lay hands on somebody and you ain't got nothing? Because I'm anointed. What I have does not determine my anointing. But my anointing will determine what I have. So after I got done praying for everybody, one of my daughters, I'll say, turned around and prayed for me. He said, well, you know, because I'm careful about who lay hands on me. I don't know about y'all. I'll say, hold on in a minute. You understand? You ain't going to lay hands on me. But you got to have people around you that you know can pray, number one, and that you know that God hears them. Prayed for me, and so everybody in the room was prayed for. And then all of a sudden in January, y'all know the story, all of a sudden my sister and my brother call, like out of the clear blue, and then here we are today. Now, from January to July has been a better year than a full year that I've had the last few years. And I'm here to tell everybody in this room, the next 6 months of this year will be the best 6 months of any year you've had in your life. Say amen to this. In other words, I'm anointed for 6 month periods. Because from July to December was the worst six. From January to July is the best six. But I'm declaring leap years to where you don't have to experience the bad six again. You're going to have a consistent six and then another consistent six. You're going to start well and you're going to end well. Now let's look at Psalms 126 and then we're done. Psalm 26 says this, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Somebody says, the Lord is turning it for me now. Okay, that was for everybody that just said it because I said it. If you believe it and you know some stuff is happening in your life and you need something to get turned, say, the Lord is turning it for me now. It says, when the Lord turned it again for the city of Zion, we were like them that dream. Does anybody know that song? What was the name of that song from, I think it was Christopher Williams. It was on the, Don't Wake Me, I'm Dreaming. We going to be like them that dream. You know how when something is so good, you be like, I don't know if I'm dreaming or not. Imagine God being so good to you, you don't remember the bad stuff that just happened. I said, imagine God being so good to you, it's difficult for you to remember all the bad. I'm not saying you ain't going to remember because, you know, I still remember everything that happened because it was bad. But I'm saying he's so good to me now, I don't even think about that stuff. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was filled with singing. Then said the people who was looking at my life expecting me to keep going down, expecting me to give up. Then they said among the heathen, because that's what they are, the heathens, the Lord has done great things for Tim. I said the Lord is turning your captivity now. Therefore, as of today, you're going to start laughing and you're going to start singing and people are going to start looking at your life and say, I don't know how that happened. I don't know how God did it, but the Lord has done great things for them. And then we're going to begin to declare verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us. Come on, practice that now. Say, the Lord has done great things for us. It's not just me. All of us going to take part in this. We all going to be happy. We all going to start laughing. We all going to get we all going to give God the glory. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. So they that sow in tears. Listen, if you've been crying, if there's anything you've been crying about, the Bible says you have sown in tears, but if just like there's a time to sow, there's also a time to reap. Those that sow in tears, how are they going to reap? In joy. Come on. He that goes forth and weepeth. What does that mean? I'm still moving even though I'm crying. I'm still moving forward. I got tears in my eyes. I feel a little weak. I need some people on my side. I need some people to help me. I need some people to shake me up a little bit. But I'm still moving forward. I'm going forth and I'm weeping, bearing precious seed. I shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Why will I be rejoicing when I come back again? Because I'm going to be bringing the harvest with me. I'm not going to leave this situation empty-handed. The devil put you through all of that stuff. There's no way I'm just going to turn around and walk and go the opposite way. No, the Bible says when the children of Israel endured all of them years of all that hardship, God made them a promise. When you leave, you shall not go empty. When I get out of everything the devil put me through, number one, he got to pay me back. But payback is not enough. I said payback is not enough. Because not only did you steal, But when you steal, the Bible says, if I catch you, you got to give me seven times what you stole. So you got to make sure the devil understands when he mess with me, he got to pay. That means I need seven times more what I left behind. This ain't just talking about spiritual stuff. Whatever you lost. Listen. Everybody stand to your feet. We're done. Listen to this. I want you to know that frustration is not your portion. Whatever the enemy has been trying to frustrate you, I'm going to tell you to turn it around and start frustrating him. How do I do that? Praise God when you don't feel like it. Give when it hurts. Love the people that did you wrong and talked about you. Yeah, he's trying to frustrate me, but I'm going to frustrate him because the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. I'm going to pull some stuff down today because I'm not going to do things the way I would normally do it. I'm going to do this God's way. And when I fight God's way, I always win.